Talk Show. It's the Daily Talk Show, episode 595.
Scooter D back in the building.
Hey, guys.
Thanks, buddy. There's a bunch of claps happening around.
How many times?
How many times what?
Does 90 Sevs keep a record?
Oh, yeah.
Am I in the lead?
Yeah. Show stats.
No, you're not. Hang on. Give me a second.
Show stats. I reckon Jem Watts
these
is
guys
on
don't count.
Jem Watts is on, I think, 14. You're on 10.
You've been 14? On 10. You've been on 10 episodes. That's quite good, though.
Mm. How you been, buddy? What's on your mind?
Oh, it's a pretty exciting time.
Is it? You seem in good spirits today.
Josh is looking at me like he's about to spruik a business now.
No. I don't think you're quite consistent. You're not really – I mean, I don't
the start
feel,
of last year, I remember your real sour start of last year.
Was I?
Yeah, just remember
– I have an like, episode to prove
How's everything? How's that? It's all fucked.
Yeah, but I think you're quite honest about that. But I don't feel like you're a sad. You sort of show your emotion in a sad way. You're quite chirpy. Like you can always
but
have
you
a chat.
You did that time, remember? That's what I'm saying. That's what. Do you remember that time? You're pretty.
No.
You're pretty.
So maybe it wasn't. Do you think it was? What's your moods like? What's your emotional state like?
Well, it depends on what
if you're
time
looking
last
at a graph
year,
like across a week.
This January. Time last year, I was like, kind of blinking at the way because I started my podcast studio and it sort of just. Pretty much took off while I was on holidays and I was getting all these inquiries and I was like kind of going, huh, looking into the light. So that wasn't bad. Maybe I was having a grouchy day. Mm-hmm. But now
Josh
I'm
spun
on
a
top
story.
Of the world.
Josh spun a story, real
I
story.
I do like creating stories. That's apparently a good story. Thing to say if you want to give feedback to someone is say the story that I have created is – rather than saying this sort of thing.
Yeah, so it's not this is the truth.
Yeah,
this is
it's not the truth, but this is the story I've created.
Tell me if it's true. And then you're giving them the power. Mm-hmm.
To be like, no, your story's wrong.
Yeah.
That's not bad. I always say to people, congratulations, man. Heard the news. And they'll always reveal what's going on in their life.
Oh, so you even if you don't know.
No, well, no idea.
And so when have you done this? And what have you been told?
Oh, I don't have a memory for these stories, Tom.
But you're a jokester, trickster.
I always open up with congrats.
Yeah, you have fooled me a few times, I reckon, over the years.
Have you ever owned a whoopee cushion?
Yeah. I stood on one yesterday. My kids have got one and it's – do you know what? Back in my day, this is like the future has arrived. Back in my day, a whoopee cushion was about that big.
Yeah.
And I'm doing a size of an entree plate with my hands.
Frisbee. For the US listeners, frisbee. Like a starter plate.
It's more than a frisbee.
Yeah.
But anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, your bread plate.
Frisbee's a bit bigger than a bread plate.
Yeah, it's the size of a pineapple.
Bread plate.
Pineapple.
Absolutely not.
That's probably one of the worst.
And a side plate that you have bread on at a restaurant, that's what it is.
Well, it's that small.
Either way, a whoopee cushion was like basically like a semi-flat, usually a kind of pinky red color.
Yep.
Just a rubber bag.
Powdery?
With a balloon. This weird powdery shit.
Inside it, yeah.
Why is that?
I reckon it because if it got moisture, it's like it's trying to keep it sort of like able to not stick together inside. Like it's meant to be able to open up. And so I know where you're going with this. Elaborate.
Yeah. And then you had to open up the little flat mouthpiece, I guess the nozzle, and blow it up and sit it there. Well, now they put foam inside.
They put foam.
They're always ready to go.
Yeah. So there's foam inside and then there's a hole with like a little valve. And so when you squeeze it down and fart it, it then just inflates itself again and you don't have to put your lips on it anymore.
That's the future.
That was half the fun, getting a cold sore.
Yeah, sharing the cold sore.
Getting it, fooling them and then giving them a cold sore.
And I was, my thoughts did go old man style, straight to Space Invaders.
Fucking PC.
No, because I thought, you know, when we were kids, we would get on our bicycle, our dragsters, right? Mm. From Stranger Things or something like that. Right?
Yes.
We'd get on our bicycles and we'd ride uphill and down dale and, you know, ride 2 or 3 kilometres to the chip shop on the other side of town.
How much were the chips?
A couple of bucks.
To play Space Invaders. Not to get chips. Ah. To play a Space Invaders machine. We'd put 20 cents on. There'd be kids everywhere and you'd wait 40 minutes for your turn and you'd play your Space Invaders. Then my brother got the VIC-20 computer, very early days computer, and got the real Space Invaders on that. And it just lost its magic immediately.
What, that he could get it in his house?
Because if he didn't get the mystery ship and the high score kind of in the first round, you just gave up and you started again and started again.
Have you ever
– so whoopee cushions ruined your day?
Well, you can just go
too easy.
All day long. You'd have to make the big, get the ever, big setup.
Have you ever owned an arcade machine? I feel like you would have.
Mm. I didn't own one, but when I had my cocktail bar up in Northcote, I had a sit-down one that had all the old
They're in still pizza restaurants now.
Didn't have coins.
No, just you could jump on it. You could play Pac-Man. You could play. It had
Benny's
like 100 games.
Had that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember a guy in my suburb. I thought it was so cool because he had a karaoke business. He had a PC with like 10,000 songs that all had the software to be able to run the lyrics.
Oh, that's very fantastic.
Cool. And so, why are you on the top of the world at the moment, Desmond?
What's
happening, mate?
Well, on Sunday, thank you. On Sunday, I'm road tripping. I'm going to go to Canberra to see the Picasso exhibition.
It's there.
The National Gallery, apparently, according to my wife.
There'll be a few pieces there from Picasso himself.
And work out if it is there before
it'll
you
be
go.
All Picasso himself.
No, but as in all of his full collection. Like there'd be bits all around the world, right? And so this is a part of the collection. Like Melbourne's got one,
Weeping Woman. We've got one in our gallery.
Where is it?
Yeah. In this National Gallery of Victoria.
Yeah.
See, I didn't know this about NGV. Interesting? I thought that the NGV is constantly rotating. Yeah. But is there a section there that's just the same?
No. They get given by a sort of collector one of the ways. Mm-hmm. The woman told us when we were there, because I said, who owns all this fucking art of Basquiat? And so they said, we've been given some, so we have the door that was made by one of the guys that was in Collingwood. It got removed, stolen by what's his name?
Keith Herring.
Keith Herring did this door. It got stolen, and then it got left on the front doorstep of the gallery.
The famous Keith Herring mural. He rarely did a mural, but he did one for unknown reasons in Melbourne, and the mural covers it. There's a little door on that wall over in Collingwood where the new Collingwood Arts Precinct is going to be.
What is that?
Oh, yeah. On Johnson Street.
Next to the tote.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you can see the big mural, that kind of human caterpillar looking.
Oh, yeah, on that big building, yeah.
Yeah, so that's Keith Haring painted that, and he stipulated that it was never to be restored. It had to wear naturally.
Yeah.
Which is kind of tricky because they don't want to fucking let it disappear. But anyway, that mural was on a clean wall, except there was a little door, a little hatch or something, and someone pinched that door. So they pinched part of the mural.
And then so someone gave it to the National Gallery of Australia. So they own, in Melbourne, they own it, but then a bunch of their art's like given from collectors to display.
But they run like exhibitions, and so they have that where you go in and it's a specific artist.
That's a travelling exhibition.
Yeah, and so with this Picasso one, where does that hang?
Okay, so the Picasso that we own as Victorians, we could say we own a Picasso. We do. It is permanently on display, I assume. That got pinched as well, you know.
Did it? And got given back.
A full heist, and that ended up getting given back.
A heist in Melbourne.
Yeah, a Weeping Woman got nicked. Look at the details
of this. What year?
Find out if I'm full of shit.
No. I like that. I like hearing about this shit. I like hearing about, what are those vans that carry around all the money? You know, like
armor vehicle
robberies. Yeah. Like when no one's hurt, I'm happy.
Mm.
But I like hearing about the heists. Most people get caught these days. Well, it's hard to get away with shit these days. Yeah. Am I right, Derek?
You're right. Can't get away with any heist anymore.
Yeah, well, there was a documentary that I don't think I ever spoke about it because it's a bit dark, but it's the one where the pizza guy is going to deliver a pizza and someone puts a bomb collar around his neck, sends him to the bank with a note. He then, obviously because he's not a robber, he's like slow. The police stop him as he's going out, head explodes.
That's not how it happened.
Yeah.
The full documentary. Yeah. He's in a car park for hours.
No, it wasn't actually that long. He was sitting there. He was sitting on the thing. I don't think it wasn't hours and hours.
Well, it wasn't walking. It wasn't on the way. No, because they got him in the car park and no one wanted to touch him and on his knees.
And he was
they
like,
fucking showed the footage.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Oh, you're talking about a movie.
Yeah. No. It's a documentary. It's the real footage. Oh,
but then it looks into who did it, who put it on him, was the
did
guy
you watch
connected?
It all?
Yeah, that's Amy right. and I watched it, blew our minds. Don't say that. But it was a bunch of fucking creeps. So creepy. Like they stumble across another murder. Mm. They stumble across like a fridge that has like body parts. Oh my God. It's well worth watching if you want to watch some dark shit for the weekend. But no, you're in a good mood. So you're
a little known fact though.
Okay.
Loop closing is my big thing for 2020.
Oh, great.
I'm going to get a notepad though.
Yeah, great.
National Gallery of Victoria became world class on one day. And it was this dude that lived at the Espy, right? He lived.
Was that a residence?
I've told this story before.
No.
Yeah, there was a residence.
Why are you talking like you haven't then? Because have you said it on the show before?
It's kind of like, it's sort of what I do because of my bad memory. If I say that, then it's just like I've gone, I'm going to tell you again.
Yeah, but you haven't heard that.
Yeah, I want to hear that.
So there was a man who was an art dealer who lived, there was a whole residence above the Espy. Back in the day, not rock time, way back in the day when it was like a, it wasn't a pub. It was like a, I don't know what it was. It was a thing, right?
Yeah, what was it before it was a pub? Don't ask.
Maybe it was a pub or house.
It makes sense that it was always a pub.
But there was an apartment up there. So this was a beautiful one, really looking over the, imagine it was beautiful.
Yeah, great spot.
I've been up. Have you been up to the SB now?
We did
our live show there, remember?
For the bushfire relief and we had our own VIP room.
Did you get a tour?
Oh, yeah. And we went to the – that was where our green room was.
Yeah, we had a green room on the top floor. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it went higher. Maybe it went higher.
But at the front that faces the beach,
yes,
they've kept it like – it's like a little museum to
this. You can go and drink in there. Yeah. It looks cool. It looks like some weird unit's attic.
Well, attic. He bequeathed everything, this collection, to the NGV. Right when he went, and it was that instantly put them. Couldn't tell you when. Sevs will find out. But that day, suddenly, the National Gallery of Victoria was a world class. Really?
Why did he have it? How did he have it?
He was an art dealer,
worth a lot of money.
Must have been
absolute truckloads. Mm-hmm.
And so, why did he do that?
Imagine, what year was it?
Yeah. Maybe $6 million.
$6 million doesn't seem like much.
100 years ago?
Okay, sure.
Maybe not 100.
1892 and 1904.
Oh, mate, it's 100 years ago. More than 100 years ago. Far out.
The equivalent of 35 million AUD.
And so is it still, has the NGV still got it?
Yeah, of course.
Who did he have, Picasso?
I don't know what he had. No, they bought
Can you find
Picasso.
Out what he had?
Who told you this?
That's such a cool story.
The lady who gave me the tour of the Espy.
You had a tour of the Espy?
Yeah.
When?
Well, you know. I wrote to the Espy because I know, they've got a podcasting studio built into the place. Mm. Not where you guys did your big live thing.
No.
But there's a little bar that's like a corridor bar and it's got a little glass studio. It's well kitted up. It's like got some
roadcast stuff.
No. It's got a separate 97 spot.
Really?
Yeah, in its own room.
I mean, that's like because I remember they had
Yeah, we saw Tofop doing it.
At the start, I thought they just had USB mics that we use. Mm. Rode NTG.
It's a little glass NTG room, USB, so it's a bit bouncy. But anyway, so I wrote to them and said, do you know who I am?
Congratulations.
I said, I'm a podcast studio guy. Mm-hmm. I should come over and talk in case there's any collabs or any advice you need.
When was the first time you said collab, do you reckon?
Well, I think you said it to me and then I thought
And then I said it to you.
I've never said collabs. You've only started saying collabs in the last 2 years.
I like it, collaborate.
I've never done a collab.
You're doing a collab right now.
This is I know.
This is a collab.
Until 2 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, and you collab with Dan on your podcast.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So there's a collab.
That's pretty good.
Is that coming
creative
back?
Collab.
What?
The podcast.
Yeah.
When?
I didn't hear the question. He was talking.
Congratulations.
What was the question, buddy?
When's the podcast coming back?
Hang on to your hat is, I don't know, Dan, I've got a week's holiday.
Now?
Tomorrow, Sunday.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to Sydney.
But is this by yourself?
Canberra.
Well, so you're going to Canberra first.
Just by yourself?
No, with the family.
Haven't they just gone back to school? Every kid's gone back to school this week.
You're
pulling the kid out of school.
Yeah, with those, except it's not Disneyland.
How old are the kids? How old are the kids?
Nine, grade 4 and grade 6.
Yeah, that's fine. I was reading a book about someone who was like, take your kids out. Maybe it was Shanna Kennedy.
Yeah.
Take your kids out of school, before you get to year seven. Mm-hmm. Before that, it doesn't matter at all. Like, you can take them for 3 months.
Because what are you learning in primary school?
Yeah. I mean, you're probably learning more life skills traveling with mum and dad if you can than at school.
And so you're going to Canberra.
But the argument is you could probably travel with mum and dad in January when you're on holidays.
Yeah, but it's an inconvenient.
It's to do with the owner's leave. I kind of, last 2 years, we went on holidays the second half of Jan.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And as a self-employed guy, as you'd know, the first bit of Jan is just dead zone.
Mm.
All your clients are away or not interested. Then the second half, if you say, they're all keen to come back and you go, nah, mate, I'm gone. So I've gone, all right, let's push it
forward. Let's do it in Feb.
Let's just go to Sydney for 5 days in February.
Where are you going in Sydney?
Manly.
Right.
Are you driving or flying?
Yeah.
You're driving up?
Yeah. Taking the Subaru.
All in one, you got to do it all in one go?
So you get, is it 11 hour drive?
Cannonball. Yeah.
You're going all the way?
Cannonball to Canberra.
Yep.
So Sunday morning we'll cannonball to Canberra at our 6 a.m. start, which will be about midday. Knowing my family, and then we'll go to Canberra and we'll stay in a hotel. Then in the morning we'll go to the National Gallery for Picasso, and then we'll go have some lunch and then go straight from there to Sydney.
Great.
And we'll just hang out in Manly and take the ferry around the traps.
One of my favourite things about road trips was the lollies.
Oh, for God's sake.
What have you got planned?
It's a setup.
Why is it a
setup? It's a setup if Mason and I are in the car. Yeah.
Bullying, that's what that is.
We didn't have a gun to your head. You decide to eat them. Wasn't me.
What's the lollies going to look like on the road?
We don't have a plan. We don't have a plan. Because
you're an animal.
If you try and sort of pace them out, I've tried a few games over the years where you got to, you know, like the kids can, you know, count in your head to 600. And I'll give you a lolly every time. Shuts them up, but not forever. But you can play games and there's a lolly.
So just on the parenting thing, your kids are old enough, grade six and four, that you know, you can reason with them. You can actually, listen, Tom, you don't get shit today. He's like, oh, why? You know, like Bodhi, you tell him you don't get shit. They don't understand that.
Yeah.
So Bodhi knows, though, that when he takes a shit, he gets a chocolate. And so he's been pushing out poos every night on the toilet because he knows he gets the chocky.
Really?
Yeah. It's for, like, and so I do another poo-poo, get a chocolate. He's just so onto it.
Champion.
When does that stop?
Well, this is the hard thing.
Just keeps going.
He's pooing 3 times a day. Yeah. And I'm not giving him 3 chocolates. He hasn't the point that he gets one from doing a poo, not every time he does the poo.
Does he then not get confused when he does another poo and he doesn't get a chocolate?
Well, I don't know. You can distract him quite easily from stuff, like just move on to
something
else.
That's what I've noticed. It's quite strange with kids that you just sort of go, look over there, and they forget.
Yeah, they're just all over the shop. I mean, you'd be a proud father of Mr. 97 from the intervention.
Yes.
Very proud. What's your thoughts? We haven't seen you since, mate.
Any updates, Sevs?
No updates.
Well, okay, thank you.
You were spreading fake news that he would be chopping by the week's out.
Oh, I can't believe you used that.
What is it?
I thought I would get hammered by the.
What does chopping mean?
Oh, it's. I said it at home the other day. My wife went absolutely spare. She goes, "I hate that. That's horrible. It's disgusting."
What does it mean?
I don't know. It's just. I don't know where it came from. It's like someone used to say.
But
it.
What do you? Because Tommy reckons
having sex.
It's the sound of.
So there's this, but then if you think about that, chopping is a repetitive task. Sex is a repetitive task.
Yeah.
So there's the noise of the chop. So chop, it's a onomatopoeia. Is that the word? Onomatopoeia, the sound.
Yeah.
The word that is the sound.
Chop. Yeah.
Chop.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's a few meanings there.
Possibly.
But my wife would hate it. Let's chop. She'd be like,
chop it off.
Yeah. It slipped out and now I'm in trouble.
No, okay. In what context? What were you saying? Let's chop?
No, I didn't. No. It slipped out on your show.
Oh, no, on the show. But then did your wife see the video?
I think I was telling her about. Yeah.
Because that was actually edited. You never saw that version because that was edited in at the very end.
It was so good. It's so funny. And then Mr. 97's reaction to that because he's trying to gather what it means.
What it all means.
I assume.
But are we doing it by the end of the week is what you're saying?
I assumed it was an old-fashioned thing saying, you Definitely. Know, like, oh, what, you know, the big brother saying, the kid, little kid saying, what are mum and dad doing in there? And the big brother saying, oh, dad's chopping wood or something like that. You know, like some kind of, what's that repetitive noise? Exactly what Tom said. So I think it's fairly innocent.
And so how do you feel about, Sev, seeing the video? You obviously did the sort of 30-minute conversation.
Yeah, it was a 45-minute convo that we turned into four.
Yeah. To give us your sort of 2 cents, what do you feel? What are you thinking? Well, what's your feelings towards Sev's?
In the end, I think it's just like perfectly fine. Like it's there's really nothing to have an intervention about for Sev's, but maybe his whole generation on average mm-hmm. is a bit on the sort
uptight.
Of frigid side. Yeah.
Can you say frigid? What does frigid actually mean?
Cold.
Is that it?
Well, it used to mean when I was in primary school, frigid meant you were scared to pash yeah. or whatever. Or
yeah.
Stuff. Frigid, but, yeah. but it comes from cold.
That's okay. it, frigid.
So yeah, really like that. The fridge.
Really? Sevs?
Yeah, it is very cold in temperature.
No, it checks out.
Very frigid.
Just on the lolly thing quickly. Oh my God. So when I was a kid, we would have a big – like Tupperware container. Like
mate, stop talking
one.
About when you were a kid. And that was last week, Doug.
And we had like sherbet things and Dad would actually go to like the lolly factory in Dandenong, like which is just like a lolly shop.
And there was one on Princes Highway.
Just buy heaps of, I think this one was maybe on Bennett Street or something. I don't know. Just buy heaps of lollies. Are you going to do, I know you don't have a plan, but will you have like a container?
No. Nah. We'll go to Servo, get a bag.
Servo, that's the most expensive place you could buy
lollies. I'm too much of a tight ass. I go to the supermarket.
It's only one fucking little bag of snacks.
Oh, is it one bag of snacks?
No, yeah.
So you're not getting, because we would have, it'd be like a couple of kilos of lollies.
Whose idea was that, Dad?
Fucking nuts.
Yeah, so like.
Dad.
Yeah, so mum was like, so the lolly police, but then.
She clearly wasn't very good. Yeah,
shit cop. No, but the thing is, she loved eating lollies too. So it was that whole thing of like, you'd just be sitting in the car and it's like, you know, we've just had lollies and then like 5 minutes later, it's just silence. It's like, all right, we'll have a couple more and mum will get them
out.
You
can't use them to fill time. We've got to use them to stop.
No, they don't do it fill time. They use it to fill their stomach. Yeah. Oh, you saw Josh and I laid a family pack.
Yeah. I'd love to judge your parents for giving you lollies on the thing. But then when we went on holidays when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. You're chewing tobacco.
Pretty fucking, not, yeah.
They were smoking in the car, mum and dad
they
were smoking.
They both chain smoked in the car
and
we weren't allowed to wind our windows down. Because when you put your windows down in the back, it went boom, boom, boom. You know that in the front?
Oh, yeah. You got to crack one in the front.
So is it even legal to smoke with your kids?
Absolutely not. I remember there was a kid's dad.
It's not moral or legal in any way.
Kid's dad did it and we used to drive around.
So it used to be legal but now they've actually got a law, is that right?
I'm sure they're just more enforcing
it. It's child abuse.
It is child abuse.
There's no doubt about it.
Fucking gronk for smoking in the car.
Although the smell of ciggies reminds me of going to the drag races because I feel like there was a lot of people smoking ciggies.
Punching
darts.
Have you smoked in your life? Like as in for a period of time you've been addicted or?
A long time. I smoked. I'm probably consider myself a guy who smoked during my 20s and 30s and maybe 40s. No, 20s and 30s. Mm-hmm. Probably so 20 years at smoking.
20
dough.
Years. How many a day?
30.
Far out. I had a client that smoked 60 a day.
That's hardcore.
And he's
that's mental stuff. That's when you just can't think of what to do.
I did the math on that. 3 packets, so 20 packs, 60 cigarettes. Do that across 12 waking hours or no, say 14
60
hours.
60
divided by just go 12. Like how much of that time is spent smoking? Like you can work it out. There's not much time. Like he's smoking. Mm-hmm. And then stopping.
He's having one every like 10 minutes, yeah.
It's so full on.
We took the channel train.
The what?
The channel.
What's the channel?
Channel tunnel.
What, where?
It's
that?
A tunnel between England and France.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Right? It has the sort of suction because it goes under the water, like the cabin pressure.
Is that right?
My cousin told me that.
Your cousins at least.
Well, because it goes down and under the water.
Yeah.
And it's high speed and the cabins are pressurized because it goes so.
The cabins being.
Just the carriage. The carriage.
Because it's not in. You don't drive. It's actually a thing.
You can drive, yeah.
You can drive. Yeah. There is a driving one. Yeah. Yeah. But there's,
you can walk.
But the train is the one that like pressurizes the cabin. Can you look that up? I remember thinking it was so fucking cool.
Who's your cousin?
Christian.
Okay.
Lives in London. Has for 30 years.
Got off the train in France, in Paris, at the train station. And it was all very French. And me and the missus, we put our bags down, got our durries out. Because, you know, in France, everything was banned everywhere. It was like, yes, this is where people smoke in restaurants and everywhere. And we just stood on the station and lit up a durry and we're blissing out on our rights. And then this huge guard comes up, this big black guy, and he comes up with all the proper gendarme type uniform.
Yeah, yeah.
And he comes up, he goes, blah, blah, blah. I'm going, nicht sprechen Sie France.
Are you doing German?
Oh, yeah, all right. Je ne parle pas français or something like that.
Oui, oui,
oui. Yeah, yeah. And he's going, no smoke in here. I just went, we just took a train for so many hours to come here so that we could smoke. Right, the missus going, why is he attacking this guy? And he goes, get out. I went, oh, and I cracked it, put the butt out. But we did have a cigarette at a restaurant in between our onion soup and our snails.
Did you ever get into cigars?
No.
They seem a bit useless.
I didn't get into them.
People get into them. Yeah, I've had one before and it gives you a bit of a buzz. You really hit. You're not even inhaling them, but it gives you that.
Remember
nicotine.
Leighton Hewitt? I feel like it might have been. I think it might have been on a cover of a newspaper. It was a photo of Leighton Hewitt enjoying a cigar after he won the Australian Open or something, and it was very controversial.
Technically, it wouldn't affect as an athlete. It probably wouldn't affect your respiratory level.
It'll give you mouth cancer or something.
It can, definitely.
You smoked it all the time, yeah.
But it's not respiratory.
You're still
absorbing the nicotine into your saliva glands.
And you really do feel it though.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if you've been out partying a bit hard, if you know what I mean.
It's giving you a bit of a buzz. Is that what you're saying, nicotine?
Yeah, it definitely picks you up if you've been enjoying yourself.
So the nicotine gum, what do we think? Like if I was just to have nicotine gum.
No, but where's my point? You're not. This, it's for weaning off. It's for weaning. Oh, when I went to a. No, because I asked someone for a. I saw the. When I went to Singapore last year, I'd never met this person before that I was working with. But I asked them if I could have a piece of chewy because I always feel them eating chewy.
Jackie
I was like, would you mind if I have a piece? It's like we're hanging out. We're together all the time. Mm-hmm. Seemed fine. It's like, it's a nicotine gum. I didn't have one, but I was like.
What would have happened if you had one?
Nothing. I've had them before. They just taste like spicy gum. They're actually really annoying.
And so,
it tastes like shit.
Does it give you the buzz?
It's so shit. You would if you had enough.
I've used them before, and if you chew them like crazy, it tastes foul. If you chew them calmly so that it releases slowly. Yeah, it's not too bad, but either way.
I mean, you're having it at that point because it's the better option than smoking. You're trying to wean off the nicotine.
But I just wonder if there is a market for people who just chew it.
And so 20 years on ciggies, that's a pretty hard thing to just kick.
Yeah. Look, I considered writing a book at one stage, 101 Ways to Give Up Smoking.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of – that's a comedy name because really – if you've got to 99, none of the other ways worked. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? But
have you heard
there's
that?
There's so many different techniques I tried. And you know what did it?
What?
I went to a doctor going, short of breath and everything.
Oh, you got in.
And she wrote, she's very poor doctor-patient kind of communication. She said, I want you to go and have a test. And she wrote emphysema ? On the note and just pushed it across the table. And I was really angry for 10 or 12 years. Because I thought, what a shit thing to write. I went into a panic and rah, rah. But I never had a durry after that, not once. Didn't even want one or consider
after
it.
That day.
Never. That was the last, before going into the doctors, which you probably shouldn't do when you're saying I'm short of breath.
And then that was the last time. I wonder if that was a tactic. Do you think it was? That's what they did? Or were they
I just thought of it then. Because all these years I've thought, geez, that was crap. I really couldn't. I didn't have emphysema, by the way. It was all right.
I'd heard that cigarette companies want us to think that it's hard to give up. So if that's the belief, it's hard to give up CEs.
Mm-hmm.
It serves them because if everyone believes it and it is hard, people aren't giving up CEs, so they're continuing to smoke.
Yeah.
So I thought when I heard that, I was like, that makes so much sense. It's like propaganda sold or encouraged or promoted by cigarette companies. Not
talking about promoting it, but like on the promotion thing, you lived at a time where advertising and cigarettes was still a thing, right?
Yeah.
What was it? What was at the peak of advertising? What would they do?
It was a golden age of television advertising because there's so much, you know, when there's a lot of dough in an industry, you get oil. Better ads, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Oil, they spend fucking millions. They? Not saying they're good at ads.
What is an ad that's...
BHP run ads. Like Big Red, the advertising agency, have one of their company, one of their clients. They've just got cash and they spend it on a TV 30-second bit.
Paul Hogan.
All cinematic.
$1 million. Yeah, it's
Winfield.
It's full cinematic. Yeah. But, yeah, they've got cash. And so, yeah, there was a time when... the weed industry, they probably have cash, like when that, I mean, they've all that investment money. So there is a lot of advertising. So it is prominent in the States, in LA at least, or California.
Mm.
And so what happened? What was around?
Well, that was like.
Tell us about the old days.
You can remember a few of them when you stop and think about it. You know, Kent's got it all together. There were cheesy 70s ads for. My parents smoked Kent, so I remember Kent.
Yeah, I remember Kent.
Kent was a brand.
What's the deal with Kent?
Just a brand of cigarette.
And how has he got it all together?
Cash for comment, I can get some dough.
No, so do you think there's any – because I feel like maybe a few years ago I saw that – is it Marlboro or whatever the –
Marlboro.
Whatever the ciggy company is, they still do shit with influencers. Like there's
– Oh, they always ways. Work away in.
Yeah.
Always. With the they've only just sort of got them off. Just using colour branding off the Formula One cars and stuff like that.
Ah, interesting.
Oh, yeah.
See what I mean? Like
Marlboro
has got a colour brand. It's all sorted. Everyone knows what it means. Mm-hmm. So they kind of sneak it in there with the right stripes here and there. John Player Special, the coolest of all the sports cars, black with gold trim.
Interesting.
That was they had the cigarette. They were quite delicious.
What were your ciggies of choice?
Well, JPS for a few years, but... It ended up because it's like whatever you can get. Benson and Hedges.
Oh, yeah, but you know.
What was my
brand? Oh, let's not give him the, and then it was let's not give him the fucking
platform.
The platform. It's disgusting.
Well, this is how I want the world. I want people to be sitting down doing a podcast with the same memories of gambling ads.
Yeah.
Get rid of the fucking gambling ads. It's making me sick.
What are the gambling? What do you mean? Like the
my kid, I can't watch a sporting event with my kids during the day
the without sports bet.
Yeah. Sports, yeah, yeah, my yeah. kids, I don't know. Maybe they're a client or not. I don't know.
No, they're not. No,
but my kids, they're just gonna think gambling all the time is perfectly normal. Well, just the way we thought smoking durries all the time.
Well, the extension is
grown-ups approved.
It's all fucking here. It's on your phone, and so they love games, and then. That's just the game. Yeah. And then the money thing.
I never got into it. Like I did my silly ones where I'm like put 500 bucks on this thing and it worked.
Nah.
But like there are people I guess it's like every day they're on. Like could you imagine my personality, just how I refresh things?
Dude.
If I got into gambling.
Don't get into the stock market then.
Ticker
tape machine in the corner there.
The
what is that?
It's all on your phone now, mate. What are you talking about? Welcome to the future.
I don't understand the yelling thing. Saw that yesterday on a TV show. Can we all explain, Derek, can you explain how the floor works?
No, I don't know.
Like, it's you know, they're crazy. Yelling.
It makes for better saying,
yeah, look at Wolf of Wall Street, you know, when they're closing the deals and they're lodging the paper into the thing.
So not even that. Off. I'm thinking like when it's like the floor of like the big, because those things are like in offices still.
Yeah, they're calling, the stockbrokers calling and selling stocks.
But what about when they've got the big numbers and stuff and they're on the floor?
Oh, the Dow Jones. Yeah. They're at the actual, so that's where you see when the crash happens and everyone's fucking hand in their head.
Yeah, but so what like, I'm so trying to work out.
So the market's open and they're trying, and so then and they're.
So they're on the phone.
They're making deals. They're actually going, we're going to buy or sell this stock. Like they're doing the sell and the
And so computers buy. Haven't.
Yeah, in most cases they have.
Mm-hmm.
I think
so. Yeah, but and so the
maybe it's a nice central way to do it, keeping it.
Yeah, sure. It's a bit of rara.
Hollywood.
Yeah. A friend said to me he had a bit of a gambling problem, and he said I knew it was a problem when I was waking up at 3 a.m. to check my betting app to see if Nigeria had won the handball competition, because that's the shit he was betting on, like fucked up, just dumb stuff.
No way.
Spending cash and
handball
then,
was a good.
And then it was like when you're using credit card to do your betting, it's like.
Well, I was talking to one of the Gronks about the how it's dawned on me while I was talking about how important the accuracy of the scoring is because there's so many different details in what people bet on.
Mm.
It's not just the score. It's how the score got to be the score. Do you know what I mean?
So people are betting on who's going to win a reality show or what song. Yeah. What's the first song that's going to be played at the Super Bowl? You can bet on that.
And then you could – so if you knew the first five people that would kick a goal in the AFL grand final, you put $5 on that, it would be the most ridiculous money you'd make, like based on the odds of that. So they're the shit, like all these sort of trippy multi-bets and weird bets, like rolling over bets between NBA, cricket, basketball. Oh, sorry, but NBA is basketball.
It's nuts. I'm glad there's no kids watching this because gambling is bad.
I mean, life's and hard so to so navigate. Cities.
And so is
but like navigating the 20 years of smoking.
Mm.
You think about like now if you smoke, have you not got the memo?
Mm.
Like that's the unkind version.
Mm-hmm.
If you smoke, you're addicted. It's hard. So
yeah, but that's a bit like saying.
But then everything calls you cancer now. Like so, like bacon, obviously. Like I get it. It seems, but it's
I'll take my chances with bacon over cigarettes. And this is what I'm saying. Like, but the. It's we have so much information, so it's not that we need more information because everywhere you look, it says don't fucking smoke.
Yeah.
You'll end up like this guy, girl, baby. Like you'll die.
But the same goes for being fat. People go, but what's wrong with you? Now, durries are kind of frowned upon now. You've got to go outside and down the road to have one. So it does help.
Yeah.
It's like the difference between heroin and booze.
So we need to go outside.
Cultural pressure.
Eat our dessert.
Cultural pressure.
Yeah. If you had to go outside and down the road. Or go to a truck stop to eat your lolly on your trip.
Well, that's what Morgan Spurlock in the film Super Size Me, they talk about that where it's like you can ridicule someone for the for having a cigarette, but you can't say, what are you doing? You're over, like, don't you dare have dessert. Like, but when it comes to ciggies, you can sort of do that.
Well,
but then there's the whole, now there's the vaping thing, which is a whole nother. Yeah.
Well, something. I think what will be the thing that we look back on, and you said it's, could be gambling. I mean, you don't want gambling. What will
screen
the
addiction.
Like the way we look at cigarettes and it's like
screen
it
addiction.
Was once just everywhere and now it's like frowned upon to smoke.
I don't know if screen addiction will be the thing based on – I actually think it will probably become more integrated. So if it was something where you're wearing glasses and all and it or whatever it was, if it was actually integrated, then it would feel less like an external thing.
Yeah.
But then what about the medical thing? So – cigarettes were advised, if you have asthma, doctors were like, have a ciggy. Like very, very long time ago. Now, that is the most misinformed shit ever.
And they used to give Guinness to pregnant women.
Why?
Just take the edge
iron,
off.
More iron.
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 Wonder what the thing will be in the future that was so, that was once given to people. That,
what
I mean,
do you
we
think
don't know. We, if we knew, we'd be.
What do you think? You love.
If we knew, I'd put a bet through some sports bet.
You love saying.
Do you know what thalidomide is?
No.
Oh, that's the shit that was given to pregnant
women.
So
my God. It's a drug that had a use. It was working, and then they discovered it would stop morning sickness. And so one generation of pregnant women were given thalidomide, and it created. Babies were born with like arms and legs missing.
Deformities,
like
yeah.
Yeah.
Full on.
So,
but they thought it was a good thing. They thought, here's this thing that works.
I guess there's a lot of those things.
Like the asbestos, you know, the James Hardy thing. Like live and learn.
The FDA and all those drug approval processes in Australia that companies have to go through.
Yeah, I don't know. What's the Australian one called?
Yeah.
FDA is US.
Yeah. But they're pretty strict now. But you see how when it was like, it might not be a matter of being strict. It's a matter of we don't have enough data. On years of use.
Well, think about, but also like people say, sitting is the new smoking.
Yeah.
That's annoying.
man, in the last 12 months, I've really noticed that. It really
affects you.
It's massive.
Mm. We need to stand more.
Because I've stood up doing my scooters and moving around.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And now I'm sitting down for my job.
Do you want to do a weekly walk? We were talking about
absolutely.
That.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because we had a walk the other day. That was nice.
What time?
I did 13,000 steps the other day.
Oh, good.
At the tennis.
Really?
We solid. Went to the tennis.
Was it good?
The kids. It was awesome.
Who'd you see play?
It was my...
You've never been before.
Things we don't normally do, club, Sevs. What's your name for it?
Life Hack Club.
No, Leaning
Life
In.
Hashtag
Lean In.
Leaning In, yeah. See. Loved it. It was awesome. Never thought about
just
it.
Just the outside courts?
Oh, we went to one outside court and had this guy, Croatian guy called Cilic.
Yeah, Marian Cilic.
Cilic? Yeah. Yeah, so. And he was playing. So he was right. He was where you were from me. It was tiny, tiny little court. And that was good
same
to see.
Same size court.
And then we queued up for hours to go into a Melbourne stadium and we saw.
Were you watching table tennis?
What's his name? Kyrgios.
Oh, yeah.
And all sorts of, yeah, it was like the kids again.
What about all the people? Was that okay for you?
The crowd.
A lot of people, yeah.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
It would have been good. It's like if we were there today and it wasn't as hot, we could be having some beers. How many? We should go next year. It's
amazing.
Full on. Like there is bars everywhere. Mm. We should try and actually get
it's
some.
Like the races?
It's pretty people everywhere. Everyone's dressed up. Everyone's there to have a good time. It's like it's a social scene. It's like our accountant was there.
Well, see, and he's a very sort of seen guy.
He looks great. And I saw he was at the disco. There was like there's like a stage. Mm. And so you can go there. You don't feel like you're at the tennis. You feel like you're at a festival.
That's and so that's what I – but I feel sick. Like as soon as it becomes a festival, I'm not cool enough to go anymore.
It's not like that. I was afraid of that. I thought, oh, this is going to be like the Melbourne Cup, yeah. Which would make me just puke. Even just thinking about going, right? Yeah. Can't stand the notion of going to the Melbourne Cup.
If we got
right, but just bogans pretending to be posh for one day, vomiting on their suits.
Yeah,
I hate it. Sorry, Watto. But I hate it. What? And I always thought that the tennis was going to be like that.
Yeah, right? It just took me a while.
But it wasn't. It was awesome. It was just people going, sports lovers. It was like going to the MCG to see the cricket. It was
you probably
lovers.
Couldn't smoke at that event, could you? Like I'm just thinking about the places.
At the
like,
tennis?
Do you think they would,
nah.
No, you can't stop smoking at the tennis, at all.
Yeah, definitely.
Not in the actual arena, but like even outdoors.
And there was
beaches, stop smoking
cafes and things for kids and the kids could go and hit tennis balls and it told how fast they were hitting.
Brand activations, weren't there? A lot of brand activations.
So many. There's brand everywhere you smash.
Did you get
your
some free sunscreen?
Tons of free sunscreen.
Did you go to the Country Road store?
No.
It's amazing.
Is that only one Country Road wearer in my family? It's my daughter.
Really? She's making
because we've got
choices.
Friends who
she a visco have girl.
Two girls that are older, and she's started to catch on.
Really,
she's too young to be grown a visco
ups
girl.
Are impressed by Country Road. She's got full Country Road. I've got a Country Road belt on.
Dude, they've got some sick stuff.
Where'd you get the Country Road belt from?
Country Road, mate.
Who got it for you? I think it was a good
who got it for well, you?
I probably bought it myself.
So you do go to Country Road?
I wouldn't. Of course.
Yeah, cool. Well, how old is it? Do you not remember?
The belt?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
He hasn't seen it.
Don't bring it up. Don't bring it up. He's going to do it.
He knew what
it's exactly like my watch band. I've actually got a matching watch band
great.
And belt.
Is that Pete's?
This is Pete's.
nice one. I love Pete's watch. Desmond.
Thanks, Pete.
Derek, thank you for coming on
the show.
Does
your family watch the show?
What about my ad?
Oh yeah, you can do an ad.
Sorry, not an ad.
Does your family watch the show? By the way,
no.
Can we tell them about the watch or no?
No. One day I'll reveal it. Okay. The big reveal.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
When they're about 18.
It's a funny story that you can't hear, and he's just told you that we could have told you a great story.
Go on, okay. I can tell the story.
Yeah.
So
you can.
Yeah. So
whatever. I'm not going to go to prison for it.
So
it's better with coming from him though.
Scoot.
You tell the story.
No, that's a confession.
That's just you. Josh is just relaying your story.
No, you do it. I was sort of involved.
You tell the story, then I can deny that.
No, you tell.
All right, I'll tell you a hypothetical story that might have happened but didn't.
It did.
So I just suddenly had that want worm, you know it, Josh, where you just go, oh, I've got to have one of these things. I found out that
the Apple Watch.
What do you call it? The Apple Watch. Now I had the screen on all the time. One thing that I just couldn't stand about it was mm-hmm. looking at people with this blank, just a little tiny phone on their wrist. Mm. But the screen's on all the time. And I thought, I want one. And I just got out of control and mm-hmm. got the largest burger with the largest fries and the drink.
Well, you told me, you contacted me.
I upgraded myself in my mind mm. to the top.
Yeah.
And what did I say to you?
No, well, you were just, you were excited about the whole thing. And so you said, I'm going to do it. And then, or you were very close to doing it. And then you FaceTimed me and you showed that you had the watch. And then you, your kids are around and you said, Pete just has given me his watch and I'm getting to look after it. And he was so winking. Ashamed. I was like, what's so going ashamed. On here? And it turns out that you hadn't told Fiona or the kids
that
you bought an Apple Watch.
I had the kids with me, but I had this out of control, like a gambler or a heroin addict. I just had to go to the Apple shop in Donny. Mm-hmm. You call Shopper. It Shopper.
Shopper, yeah. Everyone's so you went into Shoppo and
everyone's got their own thing. So I went into Shoppo and I had the kids with me, so I couldn't what could I do? And I said, oh, I've got to go. My friend's overseas and he got a deal with Apple. So I've got to go and get the right watch and pick it out and take it. And he said I can wear it for a few weeks while he's away and when he comes back I've got to give it back. Right? So that bought me a couple of weeks. And then I thought, oh, what do I do then? I said, oh. And when he comes back, he said, I can have his old one. So I got the watch and the kids, like 3 weeks later, 4 weeks later, they're going, Dad, when do you have to give that watch back? And in my mind, it was Pete Shepherd. I just decided he was my character.
Fall guy Pete.
Sorry. Thanks for the watch, mate. So you should know this. So – I'd ordered a band at the same time from eBay, a different watch band. So I changed when that arrived. I changed the band over and changed the. You can change the face on these, customize it how you want. It's really good. So I changed the face, changed the bands, and went home and went, look at that, Generation 4 or what? I don't know. Not bad, eh? And so. Unfortunately, it's my big confession, you've just fucked me now.
No, well, I mean, Clover and Tom don't watch, so you're okay. Fiona, on the other hand.
Well someone, someone will go.
You're okay. Yeah, don't rat.
Someone one day will
don't
go.
Rat.
No
don't
ratting, all right?
No ratting. Rats. Yeah, no ratting.
Now, welcome to my show.
Yeah, quickly do the ad.
We wanted to do an ad. Yeah, we're going to finish up.
Yeah.
Sam gave us the wrap-up about 20 minutes ago.
I thought he was just waving at me.
No, that's 5 minutes to go.
Hey, Derek here at Castaway Studios. Welcome to my show on the road. Now, normally I take one or two cracks at starting my videos, but today I have to do it because I'm right in the middle of someone else's podcast. Yes, this is the Daily Talk Show.
Hi.
Tommy.
G'day, guys.
And that was Josh.
Yeah.
And I'm on as a guest in their show, and I just wanted to quickly show you their setup. This is home base for the big media company and the Daily Talk Show. They do a show 7 days a week. And the difference between having a studio that's set up purely for themselves rather than like my studio used to seeing, which is kind of got to adapt to so many different situations all the time. So they've got their filmmakers, so they've got a beautiful camera that you can't see, but I'll put a note in the thing. And
where's this going, Derek?
I don't know what's happening.
What happens is you're going to play out 97's tour on your channel. Mm-hmm. Is that what you want to do?
This is train wreck, guys. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for this.
No,
I'm still working it out. And so, what do you need now?
Yeah.
So we can edit that here.
So this is it. This is me on their show. They've had me as a guest and we just finished talking. So I said to Josh, can I do my show from here and just grab it out of there? And so now we're going to work. I'm going to drop in 97's tour of the studio so you can get an idea of how they roll. Thanks, Tommy.
That's beyond meta. That's fucking lame shit.
When you said I didn't think it was going to be you doing a different show.
Doing the show, yeah.
It's your last. It's your final ad.
Do you need to do any pickups?
Nah.
Were you okay with that?
Yeah.
Nah, really just the first 3 seconds, just hey, it's I feel like
how about we just finish recording? I'm gonna go do some stuff and then we'll just mock it up. We'll probably be able to get a great one.
Great. All right, weekend banter, it's the Daily Talk Show. If you enjoy the show, leave us a podcast review on Apple Podcasts. Anything else before we go, Scooter?
No, not at all.
See you tomorrow, guys.
See you guys.